here's your host.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn. On today's broadcast, we have Graham Cook once again from Brilliant Bookhouse. Graham originally was from Southampton, England. He was called to the United States to ministry. His mission in the United States is to wake a sleeping giant. That's the church. On this broadcast, we present part two of the series, The Church Has Left the Building.
In Jesus' day, the message of the gospel collided with the Hebraic religious system. In the advancing kingdom, the gospel collides with everything in its path. And I tell you, it needs to collide with the church. The church is on a collision course with kingdom right now. And it's not about how can we fit the kingdom into what we are doing. Forget that. Because God is not going to lower himself to fit into what you are doing. What he's going to do is he's going to expand our understanding of the kingdom and then stretch everything that we do as a community so that we fit everything that heaven wants to do here on earth. So we can be walking around our neighborhood and we're asking the question, like whenever we meet a sick person, the question you got to ask is there any sickness in heaven? That's not a trick question. If there's no sickness in heaven, if it's been bound in heaven, then it can be bound on earth. Yeah, so we're not in two minds about does God heal? There ain't no sickness in heaven. Get over your bad self. There's no sickness in heaven. We have the right to bind it here on earth. And life becomes a lot more simple. So is this allowed in heaven? No. Well then, what is God loosing from heaven? Read the Gospels, you'll see. Everything Jesus did was to release heaven on earth. Everywhere he went, people were astonished. They were amazed. They were astounded. They marveled. Why? Because he was releasing something they'd never seen. He was living in their dimension, releasing something from another dimension into their midst. And the only people who really got mad about that were the Hebraic religious system. That's the hypocrisy of religion. How on earth can somebody get mad because somebody's being healed? And how could you get so religiously twisted that you could get annoyed at people at healing somebody on the Sabbath? Like that's work. It's not your work. How can it be work if you're not doing it? That's the hypocrisy of religion. Those people never make sense to anybody, least of all themselves. Why are we creating a Christian subculture that protects us from what the enemy is doing and from what the world is capable of? How can you do that? What does that say about us when we do that? It says that our experience of the sovereignty and the beauty and the majesty of God is so minimal, we have to protect even the little bit that we have received from him. I found that most evangelicals are not Bible believing at all. Oh, we say we are. Oh, I believe everything in the Bible. Oh, you don't, you little rat. No, you don't, because if you believed it, you'd be doing it. We can quote scripture. But the power of God, the power of the Word is not in what you can memorize and understand. The power of the Word is only in what you have experienced. The whole point of Scripture is to open us up to experiences. The whole book is a book of encounters. Read it. It's a story of of God encountering his people and his people encountering him. It's the story of individuals and families and cities and villages and nations having encounters and experiences with God. And it tells us everything that's possible in terms of experiencing heaven here on earth and walking with God in the best possible way. Jesus was not God pretending to be a man. He was a man living in right relationship with God, and he demonstrates to us pre-cross the kind of life that we can have post-cross. Yeah? That's who Jesus is for us. That's what we're celebrating. And here's Jesus as a righteous man. And when the disciples came and says, "Jesus, show us the Father," he just grins at them and says, "If you've seen me, you've seen him." Whoa! Or maybe not. But what if the Father wants to be for you exactly what he was for Jesus? And for you to have the same impact on your neighborhood, on your place of work, on your city. There is a reason why we are so religious. Because it prevents us from having faith. It means we can stay in our place of unbelief and say the right things and pray the right things, but never actually put ourselves out there to do the right things. Because we're scared. We're scared. We are so scared. And the reason we're scared, beloved, is because we're not made perfect in love ourselves. We have some fresh encounters that we need to be having with the Father. There are some encounters that we are supposed to be having. There are experiences of heaven that we are supposed to be having. Salvation was the introduction. It wasn't the point. It wasn't the whole point. It was the introduction to the whole point. It's the doorway that gets us into heaven on earth. It's the doorway that gets us into the heart of God, that gets us into the bigness and the fullness of who God is. This is such a great time to be alive. See, the truth is, only God has abundance. The enemy has a budget. What if he can no longer afford his plans for world domination? And we have a promise that says that the wealth of the wicked can come to the righteous. So not only is he in a recession, but we're planning to rob him blind. Time out. In the last couple of years since this recession was creeping up and exploded on us, has God somehow mysteriously gone broke? Is he the only one that has access to abundance? Come on, that was a bit weak. So this is my question then. If God has abundance, if he has not changed, if he is still the same now as he was before recession, why have some of us in this room stopped tithing? And why are we withholding our substance? Bad Christians. Bad. 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 What is that about? What are we doing? We're looking at the world for information. That's not how we live. It's not who we are. The sensible people amongst us will have already worked out this would be a really good time to increase my tithing. Give and it shall be. Who pays a better rate of interest? Come on, anyone right now, there are geniuses right now in our midst and the light's just going on. Shoot, I need to tithe more. And I need to give more. This will be a great time to go banking with God.
Yes, sir.
This would be a brilliant time to save in the best possible way. What is it you want to do with my finances? Because, you know, it is our pleasure to trust. Okay, I'll try and think of a way to say that in English. If trust is not a delight, then you have some growing up to do. Who are we trusting? We're trusting the one who has demonstrated that he is the only one who is fully righteous. What does that mean? He is the one absolutely guaranteed always to do the right thing. To do the right thing by you, to do the right thing by your family, to do the right thing by your life. That as you give your life, see, when we start to withhold and we get fearful, what we do is we take our lives back. But that isn't going to work, right? Because that means you're in charge of your life right now and you're in a recession. That is like dumber than water. That is like monstrously dumb. You've just taken your life back from God and you're in a recession. You need to shoot yourself in the head. In a recession, what we do is we put our lives even more firmly into the hand of God. And we trust. You know, we're all on this journey. God is doing two things with us, right? First of all, he's teaching us how to trust him. Every day, you're learning how to trust the Lord. You may as well make it a delight because it's an ongoing lesson. It's an ongoing feature of your life that every day you're learning to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And don't get your understanding from CNN, which in England we used to call the Cartoon News Network. You never had any news on it, just opinions. That's like listening to a theologian who has no current experience of Jesus. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. You should make trust a delight. Make it like it's the most enjoyable thing ever. What are you doing? Trust in the Lord. Hello. I'm trusting the Lord. This is great. How are your finances? Well, a bit sticky. But hey, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm planning to have an adventure. I want to see what God's going to be for me. Putting my life in his hands, putting my finances in his hands. And you know what? I'm just going to have fun with the whole thing. I can't make a mistake because he's too good. He's too good. He's too generous. So, how do you see the unchurched? Do you see them as part of your community? I mean, like now, in their fallen state? Are they part of your community? Or are they only part of your community when they repent and believe? You gotta sort this one out.
God reached down to fallen man. that the blood of the Lamb is not lost. He shall see the travail of his soul satisfied. That's the glory of Calvary's cross. Can't you see the redeemed on a thousand hills crying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain? Oh yes, glory, honor and praise to the Holy Son, every knee bowing down at his name. Oh, the cross reaches out with its arms so wide that the blood of the Lamb is not lost. He shall see travail of his soul satisfied. That's the glory. That's the glory. That's the glory of Calvary's cross.
So, how do you see the unchurched? Do you see them as part of your community? I mean, like now, in their fallen state? Are they part of your community? Or are they only part of your community when they repent and believe? You got to sort this one out. You know what God thinks? They're all a part of His community. They're reconciled. His heart is wide open. Like a six-lane highway. Yeah, wide open. He's not judging anybody. He's not judging anyone. He's not judging Arabs. Not judging abortionists. He's not judging homosexuals. Not judging criminals. He's not judging you and me. He ain't judging anybody. He's fully judged Jesus. And there will come a day when the world is wrapped up, and then the books will be opened, and every man will appear before God, and some will be judged for what they've done, others judged so they can receive praise from God. That day hasn't happened yet. So 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, judge nobody before the appointed time. What's the appointed time? The day of judgment. Yeah? So we're clear. We're clear about everybody around us. They're all reconciled to God. We are the ones. We are ambassadors of reconciliation, saying this is what it looks like to walk with God. This is what God is like. That's what Jesus came. Jesus came to put a face on God. He who has seen me has seen the Father. We are here to put a face on Christ. What's Jesus like? He's like us. Loves people. Loves to give. Generous. Kind. Merciful. Gracious. And when we go to a place and where we see sin happening in a place, we don't go there to call down judgment. We go down there and we look at what's happening, and then we call down the right amount of grace into that place. Yeah? You know, when the Father looks at you, He doesn't see what's wrong with you. It's because He's not a schizophrenic. Why do you think the Father put you into Jesus? He put you into the one place you would always be safe. He put you into the one place where you could always get blessed. He put you into the one place where you could always get your prayers answered. He put you into the one place where you could always hear His voice and feel His presence. He put you into the one place where He could always approve of you, because the Father loves you in exactly the same way as He loves Jesus. And in the same way that he loves Jesus, he loves you. That's why he put you into Jesus, so that he could always be true in his own heart. When the Father looks at you, he doesn't see what's wrong with you because he's not obsessed by sin. Father's dealt with sin. When he looks at you, he doesn't see what's wrong with you. He sees what's missing. And he is committed to giving you what's missing.
It matters to him about you. Yes, it does. Your heartaches, your burdens, he shares. Regardless of what you may do, he wants you, he loves you, he cares. It matters to him about you. Yes, it does. Believe it. We cling to his hand, he'll understand, for it matters to him about you. Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit is just about the most exciting, enthusiastic person you will ever meet. He is like rude with health. He's full of laughter, full of lightness. He's a genius at everything. He's flat out brilliant at life. And he is your biggest fan. He loves you. He's enthusiastic about you. He's excited about showing you stuff. He absolutely adores Jesus. There was a reason why Jesus said to disciples, it's better for you if I go away. And they're all going, no, it's not. You're not wrong about much, but you're actually wrong about that. We need you to stay around for 100 years, or at least until I'm dead. He's going, no, guys, it's better for you if I go away. Because then the Holy Spirit can come. What's Jesus saying? The Holy Spirit is better than me at this next phase of your life. You need me to go so that he can come. And when he comes, he's a genius. He knows everything about everything. He helped us create everything. He was the one who did most of the work. We just sat around and talked about it. He's a genius at everything. He's an amazing, he'll take everything that belongs to me and show it to you. And he'll teach you how to be prophetic as a lifestyle, because he'll show you things that are to come. He is mesmerizing in his genius. And the Holy Spirit, privately, I think the Holy Spirit thinks he has the best job in the Godhead. Because he gets to work with us, and he gets to talk about Jesus, who he loves. Should hear the Holy Spirit talking about Jesus. Oh my gosh. It's like, is there an off button? He'll just go on and he loves talking about Jesus. Feel like, hang on a minute, I need to put you on pause so I can write all these flipping notes down. Stop. He loves his life. More importantly, he loves yours. He loves your life. He don't mind to him what kind of mess you're in. He likes messes. I'm good at messes. He's good at everything. What do you need? I'm a genius at that. Oh, I can do that. I can help you with that. I'm really good at that. That's my specialty. And you realize Everything's his specialty. There isn't anything he's not good at. You should hear the Holy Spirit talking about Jesus. Oh my gosh. It's like, is there an off button? Can you just go on? And he loves talking about Jesus. Feel like, hang on a minute, I need to put you on pause so I can write all these flipping notes down. Stop. He loves his life. More importantly, he loves yours. He loves your life. He don't mind to him what kind of mess you're in. He likes messes. I'm good at messes. He's good at everything. What do you need? I'm a genius at that. Oh, I can do that. I can help you with that. I'm really good at that. That's my specialty. And you realize everything's his specialty. There isn't anything he's not good at. Here I am with this guy, and I can see what he's going through. You know, and when you get a negative, when God gives you something negative about another human being, he's trusting you with something. He doesn't want you to say the negative because it's not for them. Because funnily enough, he already knew that he was into pornography and lust and everything else. He didn't need me to tell him. Yeah? He needed me to tell him what God was going to do for him. So whenever you get a negative, you never talk about it to the other person because it's not for them, it's for you. God wants you to know so that you can position your heart properly and say the thing that they most need to hear that creates freedom. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yeah?
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
In the midst of my confusion, in the time of desperate need, when I am thinking not too clearly, a gentle voice does intercede. Slow, down, slow down, be be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down and hear His voice.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry.
Well, my friend, if our program has been a blessing to you today and God has touched your heart, your mind, or your body, take some time.
You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.